Hey, welcome everyone for the English medium discussion. We have almost 1 hour, little more than 1 hour. I would like to ask if anyone is having some other issues or interview reports before going to our traditional topic. We will take few minutes.
Sir Ibante?
Yeah.
We have not received any reports for today's session, Bhante.
Okay, that means that we can start with the topic, the Kalahavivada, and we are almost towards the end of the sutta, and yeah, last time also we almost touched it. So then I would like to invite Venerable Buddharakhita to present today's text, please. So Venerable Buddharakhita is announcing that particular sutta is finished, so that we can proceed to the next Chula Vyuha Sutra.
So again this next sutta, the 12th in this series, is a discussion between the Buddha and a psychic copy of the Buddha that he made. So the psychic copy is asking the Buddha questions. And the purpose of this is to create a situation where the devas can overhear a deep discussion about the Dhamma that is suitable to issues that the devas are running into. So this is a very, again, another very subtle and deep sutta for us to consider again. So it begins, the format is that there's a question and answer. So the psychic Buddha asks the physical Buddha a question, and the physical Buddha answers. So the question is, settled each in his own view, contending, the skilled make diverse assertions. One who knows this has understood the Dhamma. Rejecting this, one is not consummate. So it's a statement. Having contended thus, they dispute and say, the opponent is a fool, unskilled. Which assertion amongst these is truthful, for they all claim to be skilled? So that's the question. If one does not affirm the opponent's doctrine, is thereby a fool, a brute, deficient in wisdom? All indeed are fools, utterly deficient in wisdom, for all these are settled in their views. So this sutta is called the Smaller Discourse on Deployment. So here, deployment is referring to like battle troops, how you deploy your arguments, how you deploy your victories, your armies, so that you're going to win a battle. So this is the description of this sutta. Because in this case, the Buddha is talking about how we deploy our views and in battle, and how we have views and how it's like a military formation. So he's going to discuss the tactics of argumentation and how we you know, what are the kind of the doctrines, the military strategies of argumentation. So it begins with settled in his own view, contending, the skilled make diverse assertions. So it's quite astonishing how instantly we can come to an opinion about something we've never heard before. We all have an opinion. Everybody has an opinion, in fact. And all you have to do is you can ask anybody about anything. Like, for instance, Maybe nobody in this crowd has been to Ireland. I was born in Ireland, but maybe you all have an opinion about Ireland. If I ask you what's your opinion about Ireland, you instantly have an opinion, and it's completely uninformed, for instance. But we all have an opinion, so we have this faculty to create an opinion instantly, and you have skilled people who, you know, they can argue with you about an opinion about something that they know nothing about, or they could know a lot about. So this is the dispute, like, how are we to know? How do we know anything if this is the case, that that once we establish a view, we can contend that view, we can dispute that view, and somebody who's skilled can win a victory with this, you know, ability to just wield a view and wield an argument. So how what are we to do? What are we to think about this? So one who knows this has understood the Dhamma. So this is a very interesting statement. If you know that this is the case, if this is the nature of the mind, that everybody has a view, everybody has an opinion, then you already have an insight into the Dhamma. You already know that that views are just automatically arising, and some people are more skilled than others with manipulating views and opinions. So if you know this, you're already prepared. So knowing this, one who knows this has understood the Dhamma. Rejecting this, one is not consummate. So you reject this phenomena that, oh, just because somebody has a view, just because somebody is skillful, you understand that they may not know the Dhamma. It's just a faculty. They can just do this immediately, and it doesn't mean they actually know the truth. They don't know the truth. It's not a sign of somebody understanding the truth just because they can argue with you. Having contended thus, they dispute and say, the opponent is a fool, unskilled. Which assertion amongst these is truthful, for they all claim to be skilled? So instead of actually saying, like, do you know the truth or not, people will just say that you're a fool. They will discredit you as a person. So this isn't like, you don't tackle the argument, you tackle the person, it's called. In politics, you say, you don't tackle what the person has to say, you just attack the person. You don't say, I agree with what you're saying, or I disagree. You just say, you're a fool, and anything you say is stupid. Yes, and you can see this kind of tactic still goes on to this day. So the opponent is a fool, unskilled. Which assertion amongst these is truthful, for they all claim to be skilled? So once somebody has committed to a view, to an opinion, they will defend it very skillfully, and this is just leading to complete confusion. So it's a very reasonable question to be asking, which assertion amongst these is truthful? So if I am for the argument and somebody is against the argument, and I'm skillful and he's skillful, and he's calling me a fool and I'm saying you're a bigger fool, like, it's a complete mess, as you can see. So, like, you can see why the Buddha is being... He's trying to get the devas to think and discuss this. Because the devas are very clever themselves, and they all have opinions, and they all have views, and they are all very skilled at debating these things. And nobody is coming to Dhamma. Nobody is coming to any understanding. So if one does not affirm the opponent's doctrine, is therefore a fool, a brute, deficient in wisdom. All indeed are fools, utterly deficient in wisdom, for all these are settled in their views. So yeah, the Buddha again is affirming what the questioner has said. If one does not affirm the opponent's views, if I don't agree with you, therefore I'm a fool. So we see this all the time. We have the parliament, and you have the opposition, and the governments say something, and the opposition disagree with that something, and so they just say, well, you might be in government, but you're a fool. And this is the level of argumentation, and that in fact everybody is a fool, the whole system is a fool. And it's not a way to actually discover truth. So as we know, like there's the Four Noble Truths and all of these teachings of the Buddha, like this is not what, you know, we just say other kinds of ways of learning and thinking bring you towards. So ultimately the Buddha is saying this is not how you find truth in the first place. but we're going to discover that. So that's the first three of those verses, Mahatero, if you want to...
covered all the three first.
Yeah, I went through the first three because they're essentially setting up the questions.
So today there are a lot of participants, so therefore I will give the basics. During the time of the Buddha, the life wise he was living, he got a lot of questions from the lay people, but not a single question is wise. So, and he wanted to know that how is this dialogue between the Buddha and the human related to the devas. They are already achieved people. They are in the heavenly. They are nothing related to them. So therefore, the Buddha wanted to give a message to the already achieved, born lucky people. And even in our daily discussion, we are always talking about the bread and butter. We never thought about already they have bread and butter. So trick was, Buddha created a psychic Buddha, an image of the Buddha. He is asking question, and he is attacking the devas that we are worshipping, and they are utter fools. But they are lucky. They have all everything facilities, and therefore this one is the teaching through the dialogue among the human addressing to the deva. Imagine we are in the middle class, we are having a dialogue so that we are addressing the elite group ruling the government, ruling the world economies. And we can have it. We are having a very applicable dialogue whereby we publish our dialogue and question and answers, then occasionally governors and the rulers may read it. So therefore, this is a kind of a brilliant aspect in the human world where even the deva world you won't find it. The second thing is, a human can't raise a wise question. They are so bogged down in their argumenting. So therefore, Buddha, he created the image Buddha. The image of the Buddha is asking. The first one is, Sakan Sakan Ditti Paribhasana. Anyone who says what I believe is correct is called Putujjana. Putujjana means Putak Putak. I have my view, he is having his view. So as far as we are tally, we are friends. As far as we are not telling, we are enemies. So that's why the marriages never work. That's why the more divorces, because marriage is only for the sex. But beyond that, they have to live together, so much of disputes. They can't wait till the first child birth. Dispute. But sex is not a big thing to keep them in contact. So living together, all the mess started on the earth. And marriage is such a human-made foolish thing. The next thing is money. So the Buddha is going beyond that. He is asking question. Anyone he is having, this is the truth. Others is not. He is a fool. Don't associate such foolish fellows. Everyone says, I am the truth. I know the truth. My God is God. So India, you have so much of gods. Wife is Sai Baba. Husband is Shiva, and child is the Ganesh. They live very together. You go to India, the Jaffna, the veranda, the visiting place, so much of gods. And Greek also started with so much of gods. And then came the single god theory. Then it killed all the other gods. And came the one god theory. And that was a huge change in the human world. Now, even today, we are being Buddhist. Our law, our money, our decisions, everything on Christians or the God believers. So there is no justice on the earth. We are Buddhist. The constitution number 9 is to protect Buddhism. But the constitution is Roman Catholic. The law, money, newspapers, government constitution. There is no place where the forest monks have been mentioned in the Sri Lankan history. Never. So that's such a joke. So therefore, if I am being a forest monk, I say forest monks are the best, we are good, temple monks are bad, then he says, I am spreading my own view. Buddha says, you utter fool. So Sakan Sakan Ditta Paribhasana. So whenever someone I find that is parallel with my view, we are very good friends. If someone is arguing with me, no, I have to chase him out. This is what is happening. So therefore, the argue, kalaha, this is called chula viewha, the analysis, the English translation is going as a smaller discourse on deployment. We know employment. We employ people. Deploy means you have the war power, you have machinery power and the army power, and you have your view power. So to argue someone, you show your, army power in the Independence Day. So other people know, oh, he's having the electronic power, he's having the atomic power, he's having so much of people. So others won't come for a war. So they deploy. And if it is something happen, they are ready to the declare. So deployment is kind of an argument. We are always fighting with the wife, always fighting with the boss, always fighting with the lokamudro. This is the way of life. So there are two suttas, Mahavyuha, Chulavyuha, this is the smaller one. And the first one is Sakang Sakang Ditti Paribhasana Vigayanana Kusalavadanti Yo Evan Janati Vedi Dhamma Idam Patikosa Makevali So. For the singleese, please listen, because they will just get the grounding. Tamatamage Drustiye Vasanna Hu. ඒ දෘෂ්ටිය දැඩිවගෙන අපිම එහි දක්ෂයම්මයි වෙන වෙනම කියත් මේ දෘෂ්ටිය මම තමයි දක්ෂයා පෘ탁 පෘ탁 කියන්නේ ඕක තමයි හැම කෙනාම මම අහවල් ශිල්පේ දක්ෂයි අහවල් වැඩේට දක්ෂයි අහවල් ආසාවට දක්ෂයි this is just nuisance when you go high and high everyone is like යමෙක් මෙසේ දනී නම් හිතෙම දැනගතියා කියන මම දන දේ දන්නවනේ යා දන්න අනික අය දන්නේ The way I understand, if you can understand, you know. Not the truth, you understand, you appreciate what I understand. Yamek me garahune nam he he ne kai kiai. Mage vade kaurati garahanavanam, if someone is criticizing my view, it's a criticism of myself. That is why the fight. You see, the environmental situation is crisis today. But the war is there. And the war is going to come. So what is this? For a people with money and power, the environmental and global warming and the pollution, no matter. But they wanted to show, they want to deploy their power. And we are not fighting people, we are also suffering the consequences. So it is not only the Ukraine war. During the time of the Buddha, the image of the Buddha is asking from the Gautama, the Buddha, this is the way world is happening. Everyone is having his own view. He is living for that. Not for the wife, not for the children. He wanted to show to his wife my view. He wanted to show his children my view. He wanted to show neighbors my view. So that is what we are fighting. Ultimately we fail as an utter failure. So under such circumstances, this is the first answer. Evampi vigahya vivadiyanti balo pare akkusaloti vahu. Sachyenu vado khatamo imesang sabbevahime kusalavadana. Mise swalabdiya mage drushtiya dadivagena vivada kere. Mirama balayai da adakshayai da kieti. Me mahanbabunange khavara vadek sattiveda. Ehema mahanbamuno panditavadayu adda. Mehema pissu kelina kaurik adda. ඇත්තද? මේම පිස්සු කෙලින අය තුල එක්කෙනෙක්ද හරි. කදාකත් අපිට හිතෙන්නේවත් නැහැ මේ ලෝකේ ජීවත් වෙනකොට මෙයා හරිද මෙයා වැරදිද කියලා. So that is all the maha chula vihuwa. Every person is telling this is the truth. All the others are wrong. So the person who has not selected the teacher is in utter confusion. Every teacher is telling ida meva satcham oka manya. You go to each and every temple, that monk will say, our temple is unique. Our teachings are unique. And therefore, don't go to other temples. I am very happy you come from the other temple to my temple. It's the worst in internationally foreign countries. Everywhere, at least two temples are there. Until recently, Perth was only having one single temple. When Dhammika told, Perth is the only town in the Australia having one temple. Now we have two, three. Because every time one temple is prospering, another temple is starting and fighting, telling they are not properly teaching, they are not properly meditating, they are not properly giving the monastic court. And as a traveler, I use it all. I mean, my organizers, they know. And they are giving pay to the visit for everyone. So I am not giving any favor. You can't understand. And you won't believe Nissaranvani is the only temple, only monastery facilitating samatha and vipassana. Venerable Jnanarama wrote a book, Samatha Vidassana Bhavana Margi. No one can believe, because if you are practicing samatha, you are against vipassana. If you are practicing vipassana, you are again samatha. Single teacher teaching both samatha vipassana, I mean, that is the Buddha. Nowhere in the, on the earth. The samatha temples are going to deploy war against vipassana. Vipassana is a silent war to attack samatha. So such a case, I am so happy with Venerable Dhammika. I am a traditional Buddhist, I was not practicing. He told, this is the case. Don't worry about the Christianity. Don't worry about the Hindu, Muslims. They also have sectarianism. But imagine how much sectarianism in Buddhism. There's nothing in the core. There's no argumentable thing. But you see, Shyama Nikaya, Ramanuja Nikaya, the Amarapura Nikaya. The last time in the discussion, the American, the ambassador, the second in charge in the section came. In the private interview, he told, Bhante, I heard that you are talking about in this very life. Yes, I told, Upanishad Sahib is telling, Nisarnada constitution is telling. So I heard never, no one is telling in this very life Nibbana. They are talking about the next life, next Buddha. So how it happens? Then I told, I am also not Buddhist. I mean, born Buddhist, but I was not. But I met Venerable Dhammika. He told me this kind of a foolish arguments. So go through them, because you have not touched yet anything. Have mindfulness. Then he told, I studied in our American embassy, never study Buddhism in Sri Lanka. Then I told, I go to America, I go to Chuanian monastery in the Carmel. He says, Bhante, till I come to Sri Lanka, I never heard even New York have a temple, because I was not concerned. Now I am searching about the Ramanuja Nikaya. That is why the Yoga Ashrama Sanstava is important, and people told to come and meet you. So he is asking, what is the difference between Ramanuja Nikaya and Amarapura Nikaya? Shyama Nikaya. They never sit together. They never go to the same pinkama. So much of sacred. For what? What I am telling is the truth. Don't follow others. The other people come to my temple, it's a very good thing, call us up. If my people go into the other temple, Kulamacharya. And some monks are crying. if the disciple is changing the teacher, the original teacher, almost like divorce, almost like a broken love affair. So these questions, only a image of the, created Buddha can ask. We can't, because we are so blind with my own teacher, my own teaching, my own meditation center. So I always respect Venerable Dhammika for opening my eyes, just be mindful. With the male or female, ordained or unordained, Buddhism or any other, Shyama Nikaya, Ramanuja Nikaya, so I can visit any temple now. So these are the theoretical answers. People are prutak prutak. They says, I am the truth. Please listen to me. I am the telling the truth. If he is not telling the truth, not telling what I am telling, he is not the truth. Don't follow him. It's a poison. So the Buddha says, Samaggānan taposuko. When practicing people come together, they understand each other. Meditation is very easy. Meditation is very, with the least friction, non-coercive. apannaka, aviruddha. So that of course developed with the mindful school. Otherwise in Nisanamani we were telling we are the truth, all the others are wrong. So, but when the mindfulness school come, it happened as to go to the prison, to the rehabilitation centers and everywhere, and they catch mindfulness without any problem. So therefore, my mission, I am telling is, don't be Buddhist, don't meditate, try to be mindful. And you can understand you are losing all the sectarianism, you have no achieved and unachieved because everyone is happy like a beginner's mind. And that is what Zen Buddhism also accept. Now, lucky enough, for the last 10 years, the whole Sri Lanka, gradually, a small proportion, understand properly. And they come into the common ground when they become a prisoner, when they become a drug addicted, when they become a cancer suffering. And this is mindfulness is common ground. To be mindful, you have to leave aside sectarianism. To be mindful, you have to be aside the sectarianism. To be a sectarian, you have to leave aside mindfulness. It's so clear, each and every your interview reports, we can understand by two sentences how much you are in a premeditated views and how much you go to the meditation with choiceless awareness. So I am not telling whole Buddhism is mindfulness, but I say the approach, the entrance, you make the things clear. Otherwise, you take prutak-prutak, the flag, the I am the truth. All the others are wrong. So therefore, the imagery Buddha is asking. But still, I doubt whether the Gautama the Buddha is going to give the answer. The third stanza, it says, Parasa chedama manu dhamma mananu jana balo maho mago hoti nihina panyo sabbeva bala sunihina panya sabbevi me titti paribbathana. Itin anya dushtikyage dharme no anudakne balayek murgayek lesa lamaka prajnya atyek venam. හැම අදුෂ්ටිගතක වූ මේ මහල බමුණෝ බාලවිති අනුන් පහත් කළ කතා කරන හැම එකෙක්ම බාලෙක් අනුන් කතා කරන හැම එකෙක්ම මෝඩෙක් මුර්ගෙක් මේකේ සඳහන් කර තියෙනවා මගෝ කියලා බැලෙක් අනිත් එක්ක නයික වැරදි කියන හැම කෙනෙක්ම anyone is criticizing others a slave is a beastly reptilian so they have them also a chance. You just say, I believe this, you believe this, what is wrong? You agree to disagree, no problem. That is never in monkhood. Monks are so bogged down in their own view. This is what I am telling, my teacher, my center, my kamatana is the best. So they are blindfolded. But Buddha says, balo mago, balo, it's a bello, bala, bala yila can be slave. මගෝ මුර්ගී අසතියෙන් ගත කරන හැම වෙලාවෙම අපි බැලියෝ අසතියෙන් ගත කරන හැම වෙලාවෙම අපි රෙප්ටිලියන්ස් as far as you are mindful unmindful තබ්බේව බාලා සුනිහීන පඤ්ඤා so all the this unmindful people completely depleted with paññā ප්‍රඥාව සම්පූර්ණම හීන වෙච්ච කෙනෙක් සබ්බේවිමේ දිට්ටි පරිබ්බසාන ඔක්කොම දිට්ටිගතයි they all line view covered or view bounded, so therefore easily you can be mindful so that so easily you can get rid of ditthi. Ditthi is the first thing you remove when you become sotapanna. Sakkai ditthi vichikicca silabbata parama. Ditthi is not so, it's a very vehement, it is very prolific, it is lucratively killing you, but easy to get rid of. It is not meditation, this is contemplation. This is called nayavipassana or inferential knowledge, deductive knowledge, that happens only in discussion, not in meditation, not in virtues. It's a virtue, but in the discussion only that can come. That is why another Buddha came and he is asking the question. Gautama the Buddha is giving the answer. So therefore it is brainstorming. it is quite opening. So that much, if you know, I think, hope enough for me. And therefore, this is a hint to the Deva. This is hint to the achieved people on this earth. They are completely lost. Therefore, try to be a cancer patient. Try to be a drug addicted. Try to be a inmate in the prison. And then you can understand why, but how much it is good to be just a citizen. When you are mindful, only you become citizen. Otherwise, you are in a view. Yes, American.
Thank you, Swaminatha Bhante. This just made me think of that one of my past teachers used to often say that. This is a Zen teacher that the Buddha taught that the truth is in the pudding. I think that's a sort of a saying that we say in America. It's the come and see understanding. You have to experience it yourself, and that's through meditation. So then... I just was having the thought that of that, and that some, you know, the Buddha's basic teachings, like the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Noble Path, and dependent origination can be a good enough. Seems like enough Dhamma to. Then go and try to experience reality just from your own experience. And I think if the Buddha did say that it is the come and see practice, that you have to come and experience it yourself, then he's saying that also, I feel he must be saying that you should be careful about putting too much trust in what others say, maybe even your own teacher, because they can't experience directly the practice of meditation that you're experiencing. So it is a sort of, I think, a very personal. We have to experience the Dhamma directly. And nobody can teach us that, but they say they can sort of guide us and point us in the right direction. So the teacher is very important, but then our own practice is the crucial part. You just can't understand the Dhamma unless it's experienced directly. So that was the thought that I had.
You start with telling that your teacher told Buddhism is a pudding.
You know, pudding, the dessert that you eat.
Yeah, that is what we call salad.
In Zen, they often say, you know, if you want to show somebody something, like what is an apple, you give them an apple and let them taste it. So the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So
pudding is? That is not the Buddhism is a pudding, but it's you have to eat the pudding and
So like the Dhamma is the pudding. To understand it, you have to actually taste it.
So the Bill Hamilton, he wrote a book about saint and psychopath. He says Buddhism is meet Buddhism in America. Mahayana Buddhism and Theravada Buddhism, they are dialoguing because there is nothing to prove. There is no singleist Buddhism. So the American Buddhism, they are meeting each other. So nowadays, against Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhist views are in a dialogue in America. So therefore, we have to follow IMS, Insight Meditation Society, to understand the cutting-edge Buddhism, what is happening. Because Buddhism made Buddhism in America, another American. Yes.
Vasarai Bhante. Thank you, Bhante Bhurarakita and Mahathero and...
You have to tell first Mahathera and then Buddha Rakita. Oh. Otherwise, you're violating the rule.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Telling the truth.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Mahathera, Bhante, Buddha Rakita, and Bhante,
like
Dhammavichita, for all the wonderful comments. Yeah, I wanted to mention there's this. I was actually speaking to Bhante Sudhira here briefly just a couple of days ago about this thing called the wise ego. And I think Tanisaro Bhikkhu, the author of the Buddhist Monastic Code and a lot of other writings, he was the one who kind of talked about this little, the wise ego, meaning you know what you're doing is right by being on this path. You know that what you're doing is right, but it's free of conceit. That's the important thing, is you don't feel personally attacked when someone brings up a different viewpoint. Like they say they believe in a, I don't know, a higher power. They're another religion. They believe in a higher power and stuff like that. Or, you know, it's a thing of where you know that you're on the correct path, but you're free of conceit. You don't feel personally attacked by that person presenting a different viewpoint. Like, you know, you just shattered my identity, or you attacked. You know, we talk a lot in the Buddhist teachings about Sakkaya Ditti, or personality view. And you don't feel that your personality is under attack, essentially. Like, you it's not a thing of where you've constructed an identity around you being a Buddhist, and you feel personally attacked when someone says, well, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm this religion, you know, or I believe in this. And so that's the important thing also, I think, to remember, is that it's, you know, you can be certain that you're on the correct path, but you can be free of conceit at the same time. When I was in California in the U.S., I'm from the U.S., and before I came here, when I was in California, there was this one incident that I had with this, you know, you could say a city monk, where he was more of a scholar monk, you could say. And he came up to me and he was like, you know, or we were in the same room, and he was like, you know, I think what you're doing is wrong, these, you know, stricter observances of the monastic code, this and that. And, you know, and I had never said really anything to this person, but, you know, it's, if you want to live in harmony with other people, there has to be, you have to be devoid of this conceit, where it's like, because I had never said really anything to this person, this monk, before. Like, I wasn't saying, hey, you're like a scholar monk, you're not like a, you know, forced meditation monk like me, or, you know, you're not like practicing meditation like me, like, what's wrong with you? I never said anything to him. I just let him be. But, you know, when you feel personally attacked by someone presenting a different viewpoint, or being different from you in any way, shape, or form, that's when you've essentially constructed an identity around, you know, whatever your beliefs are, or whatever you believe yourself to be. You've constructed an identity around it. And so when someone presents a different viewpoint or is different from you, you feel that your identity is under attack. And so then that's when the reactions come, the anger, the lashing out comes. So you're wrong, and only my viewpoint is right, and, you know, how dare you present an opposing viewpoint. And so, you know, it's about being wise. You know, you want to know that, hey, you know, I'm on this path of Dhamma, I'm practicing the Dhamma, I'm doing the right thing, this is going to be the thing that liberates me from suffering. But if someone else in the world, I meet them and they present a different viewpoint, or they're from another religion or spirituality, or following a different spiritual path, I will not feel personally attacked by that. You know, it's just, that's what they believe in, and, you know, so be it. You know, I don't personally believe in that, but I can speak to this person, I can have a friendly conversation with them. I don't feel under attack by them, I don't feel threatened by them in any way, shape, or form. And so I don't experience any dukkha on account of that. I don't experience any suffering on account of that person being different or presenting a different viewpoint. So that's the comment that I wanted to share. Thank you all.
So related to that, I will quickly give the mic. Related to that, I was about to ordain. I was in Nilambe. I was walking across the Hantana mountain and went to another small monastery, a small meditation center. And that lady introduced her husband. Both of them are
The husband is an ex-monk, very senior. And he told, are you going to become a monk? Then I told, if everything goes correctly, yes. I heard that you are going to go to Nisarnavani? Yes. You know, Nisarnavani is the Arahant factory. You want to be an Arahant? The Kandubode is a Sovan factory. You know, there are beautiful other centers. Why you are going only to the Nisarnavani? Then I told, I don't know, it is an Arahant factory. I don't know, Kandubode is a Sovan factory. I have never been to other centers. Ask me, I have been in lot of places. There are beautiful centers. Why you have selected Nisarnavani? Then I told, that's the only thing I know, I am going to go. He was a German. He was very friendly with me. Wife was so... when she come to the Nilambe, she keep a bouquet of flowers on my pillow. I mean, that is such a nice lady. But the husband is telling, don't go to Nisarnavani. It's an Arahant factory, very strict. And therefore, why don't you go to another place? I had no any idea about monasteries. I have no idea about the monkhood. So this is the way people, and there he's an ex-monk, 30-40 vassa at that time. And he is asking the new candidates, don't go to that, don't, please go to this. It's a failure, it's this wrong person. So this is the way, the world. So that is why I am very happy with Venerable Dhammika. He told me, just please meet with the people, keep the mindfulness intact. They are not mindful. They are talking about the aesthetic part of the center. They are telling it is too much of Vinaya. They have never been. The mindfulness is you are exposing yourself via strict Vinaya, slack Vinaya, strict Dhamma, slack Dhamma, no harm. No harm. That's what I am telling. For the mindfulness, strict Vinaya and lack of Vinaya, no harm. Knowing full Dhamma and lack of Dhamma, no harm. So that opening happened. And that is what I am appreciating. So not only in America, even in Sri Lanka, I am a born Buddhist, bumpkin from the village, and says, don't go to Nisarnavani.
Yeah, I guess one short last comment I would like to add is, speaking of, Tanisara Bhikkhu, I actually, when I was still in California, I gave a phone call to his monastery, Wat Metta, and... if anyone knows anything about Tanisara Bhikkhu, he's kind of very direct and straight to the point, and he doesn't really like... he sounds very strict and like overbearing, like a military commander in some regards. I called him and I asked him, can I come down to the monastery? And he was like, oh no, sorry, you know, we're closed right now. And kind of like that was the end of it. But you know, I don't feel personally attacked by that. You know, maybe he just has his own kind of way of running things, or, you know, it's not a personal attack on me. It's just his way of running his monastery and everything, you know. And so that's what I mean to point out is by this is somebody being different or presenting a different viewpoint or maybe behaving a little differently or saying something a little differently than you. It's not a personal attack on you, and that's where the dukkha comes in is when you build or construct an identity around your viewpoints, or you believe that when somebody has a different viewpoint or does something differently from you, it's a personal assault on you or it's an attack on your identity. So that's what I meant to say.
I thank the Tanisara Bhikkhu. You don't understand. Okay, any other comments?
Vasarai Mahasangha, thank you everyone for the comments. I find it interesting to think about the use of views, because in the Buddha's teachings we definitely have this aspect of right view, and we try to kind of stand on that to get some sort of firm ground for guiding our path and our life. I can also see how it's very easy to mistake, everyone does really, and I definitely know that I do, to mistake true right view for just views, and that's where we get sunk into. And when you get sunk into views like that, then it's very easy to identify with them and quarrel about them with others. And all the time we're thinking that it's right view. We think that no, this is fighting for the sake of truth, for the sake of Dhamma. But as we know throughout the Attakavagga, the Arahants don't quarrel like that. So they've definitely understood views as a means. And yeah, I guess that's what we have to try to see as well. The use of views and whether they're actually helping us come out of suffering or just causing more. So I'll leave it there. Thank you.
The German, he came, he left. He has gone to Kathmandu, Vivekananda. We were both in Panditarama together. He's a very, very devoted Buddha to Vivekananda and that place. Vivekananda told, my place is closed. I can't accommodate you. Why don't you go to Nisandvani? So he came with the greetings with the Vivekananda. And he told, I am very happy. Still I am following Vivekananda and I am very easy for me to Kathmandu, but the place is closed. So he's not say don't come, he says go to Nisandvani. So likewise, if I can't accommodate, that is why I wanted to keep the center open throughout the corona time, throughout the difficulties, because we are not telling it is closed. It's an utter shame. The government is finding lodging complaints and the cases against us, telling how can you have retreats while the corona is happening. Then I told, why don't you come and sit? No, Bhante, you have to put a case. Then I told, why don't you go there and put a case against? Then I consulted the medical commissioner. Then we are conducting a retreat under your regulation. Please don't close the center. It's 700 million rupees invested on the building. Please keep it up. Otherwise, the white ants will come and attack. And Kaduvela is the best example. Throughout, they are not asking even the mask. They are not worrying about the hand spray. Keep it them. Even the young children, even the elderly people, they come and they have. This is the only answer for the corona. And if you are closing the center, no. So at least you must have some other place. We are close for this thing. Please go and others. So therefore, being a Buddhist temple, we can't close the door even for a beggar. Even a mad person. He has to come and live at least 3 days. That's why I allowed you people to come, you're all mad. I'm happy that you are living with me, you're all mad. Yeah. So I am the leader of the madness. I'm the leader of the asylum. And I thank you. Living with me.
Kavarada giyo ekekka katha karanada?
Avasarai Mahatheru and Mahasangha. We are talking about different views and that we should not generate self-ego over it. But what Buddha has said is Chattarisaka Sutta, if I remember right. The best way to come out of view a different or opposing view is that you will have to know that you have a wrong view and you will have to know when you have right view. And in that way, you will not be arguing or going against the wrong one and upholding your own correct one, so-called. So as a result, what I understand is that having mindfulness will leave you out of trouble. So to express that the mindfulness is the way forward is again another point. We will have to present that as a viewpoint as well. So it's a double-edged sword in a way that you cannot criticize someone and at the same time not showing that you have an alternative as well. I'm not quite sure I'm clear, whether I'm clear.
At least appreciate you presenting your views. Discussion is the only way, I am telling. Not the Dhamma talk, not the practice, but the discussion. It's what you call dialogue. That's the only way to give inferential knowledge, to give deductive knowledge. Naivipassana, imanattang, tarkika jnana. So my monkhood, my lay life, throughout happens through discussions. Nilambe, we have daily 1.5 hours discussion. Godwin never talks. He's listened to the all. At last, he says, yes, what you all discuss, you can see in that particular sutta, the samadhi, the gist. He's just sitting. He's very happy, male, female, different people. Come and just discuss. I thought they're having different kind of questions for the foreigners. No. They also have the same old Sri Lankan question. Young man's, my questions, they have. So I had the friendship. I can't talk. My English was not so polished that time. But I was so open. I am very happy that the others accepted me. Veluvana Dhamma group accepted me. Venerable Dhammika accepted me. When I come to Nisarnavani, they accepted me. So that is a kind of a huge opening for me because I had so much of inferiority. I am no one. At my family also, I am no one. I am the ninth child. So my mother's love was not, were not with me. I try to grab it. And the brothers and children, they are hitting me like in dozens and half a dozen kind of the brothers and children, brothers and sisters. So I am no one. So whenever I get the relationship, I get the membership in everyone, I appreciate that organization at least. They are giving me a fair chance. So I try my best. If anyone coming here, give a fair chance for them to come and have sharing and transparency. I am fairly successful in this. Anyone? Before going to another stanza.
I would really appreciate, Venerable Sir, for your programs and also the importance of mindfulness. My question to you, sir, is that when it comes to modern world, is always the multitasking is demanded, especially when you're at your job. So in such situations, how we do the mindfulness in a fast-paced, multitasking demanded world? Thank you.
Do you think the monk's life is a single task or multitasking?
I think in, as a Buddhist monks, we can, the monks can do things slowly, sometimes mindful, always mindfulness, I think.
So if so, why don't you become a monk? Simple as that. Welcome. But after 1 hour, come here at 10:30, you can see. You can see here what is happening. It is not slow. It is like a scout camp. Everyone is very active. You people telling you all are multitasking, you all are bloody fools. You all are bloody inefficient fellows. You have to come to the center and live with us 1 hour when we are working. How much you are unskillful. I am not giving any skill, but different people come different skills and different work fields, different tools. You are multitasking. You can't live with a monk. You are 24 hours working, 7 days working, 30 days per month, 365 days. You have 8 hours of working. That is what the problem. So therefore, if you wish to know multitasking, start with one thing at a time. And that done will. Ultimately, mindfulness will bring you to the diversification, unimaginable, catching the momentum. First thing first, you can go for, as you are giving that, dedicating the work for others, and division of labor, and you can see from 10:30 to 11:30 how busy the place is. These monks, they are not, they are very lazy, they are jumping and hiding. But others are working. I'm sorry. You are living close to me. People, those who do not like, they go and hide in the toilets and other kind of thing. Other people, they come and break rocks, making roads, treating plants. And there's nothing left. So therefore, if you wish to be a man, if you wish to be a complete person, come and live with us. And I am not allowing you. I will take maximum use of it. Then you will understand what does it mean by multitasking. You are an utter fool. You don't know multitasking. So one day, Venerable Dhammika told me, there's a one monk called Cat. He's a Theravada, he's a Zen monk. He says he's walking very slowly, but he's such an efficient monk. Can do anything. So he was waiting to see that particular monk. He saw him climb to the plane, the aerodrome, and just like a cat. But the capacity, any moment he can do anything. So this is what I call multitasking. The potential is there. That means you are failure. Come and live with us. We will teach you what does it mean by multitasking. And you do as you like. The whole range is there. So man is a human being. He is such a versatile machine. We never use at least 5% of it. So much of capacity. That's why the Buddha is called omnipotent, omniscient knowledge. He can do, without doing anything, he can do everything. So that is what you call multitasking. These foolish fellows, mechanizing and multi-production, the billion of the mass production, make you robots. This is not multitasking. This make you a square fellow. But here, we are using hand tools. We are working with the earth. We are working with firewood. We are not waiting for the gas. We do. So therefore, it is down to earth. And monastery is a kind of a thing, teaching you all multitasking, but not for the beginners. Beginners has to come and help you. And after a while, you can select your own way. It is like a prison. When you go into the prison, you put into one or the other skill. You can develop. So therefore, don't misunderstand the multitasking. It is, if you wish to be multitask, tasking person, try to be a monk. All the others are partial fellows. They are not ready to even take a challenge. So therefore, we look down other lay people. It is bad according to the Chula Viva Sutta. Don't look down. Because you can't cross. You can't jump into the water. Come and live with us. Just in a retreat at least. Not wearing robes and shaving the head. Live with us. Males we can of course invite. Females still we are not. And we have few centers for the females also. They are making enough problems. So therefore progress is slow. But the males I invite. Then I will show you multitasking. Live one day with me at least. Then you can understand. Yeah. Huh? If you go to Kaduvela also, you can see different kind of people. And the prices are 3 times high. But the building constructions, throughout happening, plants growing, and different people coming from different places. Manthi, how can I come to Kaduvela? It's open. Any person can come. And you can see Dhammava Vihari Amadro early morning get up, sweep everything, make all the water buckets filled, and things are ready. People come. Everyone come. Start with sweeping. Everyone remove the beds, remove the mats, everything, and make it clean. He says, otherwise I have to do. If you have taken a mat, keep it again. If you have taken a pillow, keep it up. And all the way, when I go there, he's always concerned about whether my bowl is washed, whether I am being invited. I can't imagine how much he can have that kind of a time. Not only for me, even when the Saddhananda is there, it's taking care, so much of loving. And that is I call multitasking. Even the family life, it is not being challenged like a monk. Monk means I mean the working monks, not like a sluggish, lazy bones. But come and live with us. Buddha has created such a stage. It's like a scout. I'm sorry that I'm attacking you. That is the Chula Viva Sutta.
I would also add, actually, from the Upandita Syada's book, In This Very Life, there's a line that always stuck with me very strongly, was he said, busy people are conceited. You know, you need to think about that. Everywhere I go in the world, everybody says, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. And if I visit a place, you know, and I say, oh, have you got time? I'll come at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm busy, I'll see. You know, this is kind of the standard answer these days. Everybody is busy. And I would just question, is that really true? You know, is it really true? You know, are, you know, are like, if I say to some people, you don't seem that busy. I don't seem to be impressed by your busyness or something, you know. Like, what are you doing? Oh, I have to go shopping. I have to pick my kids up from school. I need to drop my kids off to this, you know, competition or something like that. And it's just relentless.
All the things we kids have to do. We went to the school. We came back. Parents are minded their own business. Why you are taking time for the children? Ask them to go and walk. And ask them to come back. Met with an accident. Yeah. You people are making zoo animals, not children.
You know, washing themselves. I'm busy. What are you busy? I have to wash myself. I'm busy. I have to eat. I'm busy. I have to prepare food for myself. I'm busy. I have to put on my clothes. Everything is busy. I'm like, but it's a duty to put on your clothes. I don't say to myself, I'm busy because I'm putting on my clothes, or I'm busy because I have to go down and eat, or I'm busy because, you know, of some other reason. That's not busy. That's just something that I have to do. And if I don't have to do it, I don't do it. You know what I mean? Like Mahatero says, I don't have to participate afterwards. I'm not going to do
it. Yeah, he's very sluggish.
I'm not sluggish in the slightest. I apply myself skillfully around what I want to do and what I don't want to do. If I agree to do something, I'm 100% committed. If I am not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. You know, if there's a good reason to do it, I'll do it. If there's no reason, no meaning, no purpose in it, I'm asking myself, why am I doing this? Instead, everybody else says, I'm busy. We'll see. Give me a call when you're on the way and see if you're available, if I'm available or not, because something might come up. Impossible to make appointments with people these days. It's just conceit. It's just a horrific, ugly conceit. And if I say to them, I think you're bloody arrogant, you know, I'm giving my time, my effort to come and meet you at your home and you don't have time. You're busy. Are you kidding me? Why don't you try and come and visit me in Sri Lanka and see how much effort that takes? How busy is that to come and visit you? You know, come all that way, you know, make all those flights, get through all of those countries. That's busy. You know, coming to see you at home and you're saying you're busy, that's, you know, insanity.
Ridiculous.
It's insanity. So, you know, learn to mind your own damn business.
So then you'll know what busy is. I never postpone anything. Yeah. I never ask any Satipasalo Karaka Sabha, don't postpone. If the bloody fellows, foolish fellows come, do it, can't commit, don't mind. We will start. We'll treat a single person. Don't let that foolish fellows to come after late and giving excuses, telling I am busy. Without them, easier. I am having so much appointments with the government officers, daily postponing, because even if you have a stomach pain, they postpone. You have to go to India, postponing. They are the one giving the appointments. But I am telling from the Nisatamane point of view, from the Kaduila, the Satyapasa point, don't postpone. If you give, sometimes I forget that I excuse, but I am telling, I am always available. But you have to come alone my way. I have expressed my timetable. These are the place I am there. Always I am free. I am like a prostitute. Anyone can hire. Don't tell you have AIDS. Yes, I have AIDS. Because I am a prostitute. I am an open person. You can't claim. So what I am telling is I express everything. These are my timetable. These are the place I am visiting. Whenever they are postponing, I am very happy because then I can take my own time. I can jump into the river. I can jump into the sea. All the kind of things. So I am very happy to work with the government people. They are very busy. Always postponing. It's a joke. That's why I never went to government to work. I went to the private sector. I am still happy. I worked enough. I got enough. I resigned. Government is such a crux. You can't crack it. So therefore, don't go to government, mind your own business. And if you wish, try to be a monk. I'm sorry that we all are attacking him. And multitasking, simple answer is start with one thing at a time. And definitely you will lead by the Dhamma, open eye character, you will be doing multitasking without known to you. Amazing, your family members will admire you. Be mindful. උඹ නම කියලා පටන් ගන්න හරිද?
සෝනස මං සුනිල් මෙල්බන්.
මේ වගේම එකෙක් ඉන්නවා පර්සි කියලා පර්ත් වල.
සෝනස හැමදාම මේක පැටලිනවා.
Exactly like that. And even now organizing the retreat මෙයා කව වගේමයි. මේ යකෙක් නේ ඌණයි යකෙක් නේ. මම ඒකම මේ නම කියන්නේ කිව්වේ සුනිල් හරි start.
අවසරයි බන්තේ. It's a very interesting discussion. I really appreciate that everyone comments these things. I asked our Banthi to give me just a mention about a couple of things what I can express the audience. One stage I actually listening to the Ajahn Brahm small video clip when that Ajahn Brahm went to the, I think, Thailand or Burma, somewhere, wherever the monastery life. He was given a lot of tasks. It's a very strenuous, hard-working task in that monasteries. Yeah, like means, there will, as our Banthi mentioned, even here is so busy, so there's no any simple thing, always everyone engaged in a lot of tasks during the old day. So the same type of situation in that monastery as well. The one day, they were given a task to move the dirt from one place to another place. So he was also given a wheelbarrow, and he started doing that because he's actually from the England. He's not used to that weather, like really sweating, mosquito bites, that sort of stuff. He's really frustrated, and he's starting to swear him by himself. Lucky he said that he can talk the English. Other monks can't understand what he's talking. But eventually one monk reached to him, said that, I can see you are really frustrated and you're unhappy. And so I know that you're not used to this type of hard work. So he gave you one, he actually made one comment. He said, pushing the wheelbarrow is not hard and the thinking is the hardest part. That he mentioned like that. Then the Ajahn Brahm is thinking, oh, what he said? He said, pushing is not hard, but the thinking is the hard. So that he, after that, is thinking, oh, no, I want to give a good thanks to that Banthi because he gave me a good lesson in my life. So I think everyone can apply that sort of thing. If we are thinking something hard, it is not really hard. So I remember the one stage of Banthi told us, the people has to do, generally we like to do, what we love to do. So we find something we really love, then we like, okay, I want to do this. So we're picking the things. So something in our life sometimes happen, we have to do without you are not loving. So that's why I really use my mindfulness. Okay, doesn't matter it is what I love to do or not to love, I thinking, no, what I'm doing is, okay, I put my equal suspend attention and I try to make a love to do that. So then I try to be happy. Doesn't matter how hard, how easy, I'm not going to give any value. I think that is a good point for everybody, even if you think it is hard, it is no good, like that. So especially when you participate in the retreats and we love all the teaching of our Banthi, what I realized that doesn't matter, it is a morning, it is a night, it is a daytime, if you are not enough sleep, usually 1 hour, 2 hours, doesn't matter anything. If you are in positively or if you are really mindful, doesn't matter whatever you can do, it is not affect your age, your gender, your nationality or whatever. And thanks Banthi.
Okay, it is time up. So Ajahn Brahm is the one, he told we are working 24 hours, 7 days, 30 days, 365 works. No overtime, no bata, no incentives. So you have to live. So that also I have attributed to Venerable Ajahn Brahm. So that is the end of the discussion today. We are going to go for the Pindapatha. Thank you very much for the participation.